We've been focused throughout this retreat on the meaning of our consecration, which is a dedication of ourselves to God, a transfer of ownership, a cutting of ourselves off from the mundane in order to be with the Lord and together with the Lord to be sent back. The consecration is precisely so that we will, in fact, love the Lord our God with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. It is so that we might consecrate our families and drill into our children this calling by God to become fully human by becoming more and more divinized by loving the Lord in precisely this way. We mentioned that this consecration happens in the sacrament of baptism, the day on which an exorcism is performed on us, to prepare ourselves to become consecrated temples of God's holy presence. And then we commit ourselves to the covenant God's making with us by rejecting Satan, his evil works, and empty promises, professing our total faith and trust in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the church God has founded, in the communion of saints, in the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. We make our commitment to the covenant not so much as a thing, but as a person. We enter into that new and eternal covenant who is on the altar with us, into Jesus' filiation, into his consecration. But that consecration that happened on the day of our baptism is meant to be repeated. It's meant to be renewed. It's meant to be reiterated so that our awareness of our consecrated state might grow and its effects may penetrate more and more into our life. A retreat is a great time to renew that consecration. But the greatest means God gives us to renew it objectively is at Mass. There's great meaning to the fact that the word we use to describe the rite of transubstantiation at Mass, the rite that makes it possible for us not to be adoring bread, but to be adoring the one through whom all things were made. There's great meaning to the fact that that word is called consecration. The same word we use to predicate the special form of life, religious men and women, consecrated virgins, widows and hermits, members of societies of apostolic life and secular institutes adopt. The same word that describes the reality of what occurs in us at our baptism. Both are called consecration. At one level, when we speak about the consecration at Mass, we use it because bread and wine are segregated to be used for divine purposes, to be changed, to be taken out of the ordinary and made the most extraordinary of all. But at a deeper level, it's a consecration because that's precisely what Jesus was doing when he took bread and wine during the Last Supper and changed it into his body and blood. He was giving sacramental reality, visible signage to the reality of the consecration he had been living in his body and blood, his humanity and divinity from the time he had come into the world. And he was giving us an opportunity to enter into holy communion with that saving consecration. It was during the Last Supper that Jesus prayed the words I mentioned last night, the words in which he specifically asked the Father to consecrate us. Jesus said, "Consecrate them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world, and I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth." In a homily to priests in 2009, Pope Benedict said that this expression, to consecrate oneself, means to sacrifice oneself, to give one's life. That's what Jesus was doing so that we might be consecrated for real. Pope Benedict said, "This is the priestly act by which Jesus, the man Jesus who is one with the Son of God, gives himself over to the Father for us. It's the expression of the fact that he is both priest and victim. I consecrate myself means I sacrifice myself this unfathomable word, which gives us a glimpse of the deep heart of Jesus Christ, and it should be the object of constantly renewed reflection, because it contains the whole mystery of our redemption. The whole mystery of Jesus saving us is contained in His consecrating Himself so that we might be consecrated in the truth. Pope Benedict went on, "Only now can we fully understand the prayer that the Lord offered the Father for His disciples, for us. Sanctify them, consecrate them in the truth." This is a true prayer of consecration. The Lord prays that God Himself will draw us toward Him into His very holiness. Pope Benedict said that this prayer of Jesus for consecration appears twice in slightly different forms. He says we need to listen to these two forms carefully in order to understand even dimly the sublime reality that Jesus accomplishes in joining us to His consecration in the Eucharistic sacrifice that was completed the next day and punctuated with an exclamation point when He rose from the dead. The first of those two phrases is sanctify them in the truth, consecrate them in the truth. And Jesus adds, your word is truth. Pope Benedict says that the disciples are thus drawn deep within God by being immersed in God's Word. The Word of God is, so to speak, a bath that purifies, a creative power that transforms us into God's own being. So then how do things stand in our life? Are we truly pervaded by God's Word? Is that Word truly the nourishment we live by, even more than bread and the things of this world? Do we really know the Word? Do we love it? Are we deeply engaged with this Word to the point that it really leaves a mark on our life and shapes our thinking? Or is it rather the case that our thinking is constantly being shaped by all the things that others say and do? Are prevailing opinions the criterion by which we measure ourselves? Or is it God's Word? Do we perhaps remain, when all is said and done, mired in the superficiality in which people today are generally caught up? Do we allow ourselves truly to be purified by God's Word? This is an important consideration. When Jesus was praying for consecration, He was praying for it to have an objective content. For us to truly be immersed in Him, we have to be immersed in His Word. For us to say we believe in Jesus Christ means that we believe what He teaches. Can't say we really believe in Him, we're in His consecration, unless we're seeking to be walking exegetes, living, breathing commentaries of His holy Word, so that His Word might truly become flesh. It's one of the reasons why there's a deep connection between the proclamation of the Word of God in the celebration of the Word made flesh in the Mass. Because we can only really grow to hunger for the Eucharist when we've come to believe fully in His Word. Because if we're not really taking seriously His Word, how then will we ever take seriously when He says, with a New England accent, "This is my body, this is the chalice of my blood." The two go hand in hand. To be immersed in His Word leads us to be immersed in the Word made flesh. Pope Benedict says we can take another step in the interpretation of these words, which are crucial for us in our growth in faith. Did not Christ Himself say, "I am the truth"? Is He not Himself the living Word of God to which every other word refers? Therefore, to sanctify them in the truth, this means in the deepest sense, to make them one with Me, to make them one in Me, the Christ, to bind them to Me, to draw them into Me. To be consecrated in the truth means to enter into the objective reality of who Jesus is. And all that He says and does, He wants to draw us into the heart of that reality. We're called to a new and radical way of being united to Christ, Pope Benedict said. To be immersed in the truth, to be immersed in Christ. Part of this process is prayer, in which we exercise our friendship with Him and come to know Him, His way of being, His way of thinking, His way of acting. Praying is therefore a personal journey into communion with Christ, setting before Him our daily life, our successes and failures, our struggles and our joys. In a word, it's to stand in front of Him, to be immersed in God's truth and thus in His holiness. For us, this also means to acknowledge that that truth is demanding, and that we have to stand up in matters great and small to the lie which in so many different ways is present in the world. We need to accept the struggles associated with being sanctified in the truth, because its inmost joy is present within us. And when we talk about being sanctified in the truth, we should never forget that in Jesus Christ, truth and love are one. Being immersed in Him means to be immersed in His goodness, in true love. And true love never comes cheap. It's always quite costly. It resists evil in order to bring men to true good. If we become one with Christ, if we enter into His consecration, if we learn to recognize Him precisely in His sacrifice, in His suffering, in the poor, in the little ones of this world, then we will become people who serve, who recognize our brothers and sisters in Him, and in them we encounter Him. It's the first step. That when Christ is seeking to allow us to be consecrated by the Father in Him, He's bringing us into the depth of His entire truthful salvific life and goodness. That's what this consecrated year is about. But Pope Benedict adds one extra thought. He says that when Jesus says, "I consecrate myself so that they also may be consecrated in truth," that is truly consecrated. He says, this second part has a special meaning all its own. In the world's religions, he says, there are many different ritual means of sanctification, symbolically consecrating a human person. Yet all of these rites can remain something merely formal. Christ, on the other hand, asks for His disciples the true sanctification that transforms their being, their very selves. He asks that it not remain a ritual formality, but that it make them truly the property of God Himself. We could even say, he concluded, that Christ prayed on behalf of us for a change that would touch the depth of who we are. But he also prayed that this interior transformation might be translated day by day in our life, that in our everyday routine, in our concrete daily life, we might be truly pervaded by God's light. That this consecration that Jesus prayed for in the Last Supper is supposed to be consequential. It has all the objective power to help us to live in the truth, to abide in God, to radiate His goodness. That's its power. That's what Jesus wants to do. But, despite His omnipotence, there's one condition He puts on that intention. That condition is our freedom. Objectively, God's will is that we be consecrated, which shows that consecration is first a grace, it's a gift. It's what Jesus asked God the Father to do for us, and it's real and it's happened. By Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, that is the grace that's in the world. But we need to receive it. It requires a cooperation, a participation, a response. What is that cooperation, participation, response? In general, it's the living of the Christian life, which is meant to be a life in communion with God, the living out of the reality of our baptism. But there also means it needs to be a specific living out of that gift. And that's what happens in Mass. we're called to enter fully into that consecration in response to God's grace. How do we do it? St. Paul describes it for us at the beginning of the 12th chapter of his letter to the Romans. I urge you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. This is what we do at Mass. We offer ourselves as a living, holy, pleasing sacrifice to God. Instead of offering meat like Abel, instead of offering vegetables like Cain, we, like Jesus, sacrifice ourselves. And not just part of ourselves. For us to receive this gift, we need to sacrifice all of ourselves. As Father Ron Gillis, my late great spiritual director, once said, the Christian life is like a game of high-stakes poker. Jesus says, I'm all in. And the only way for us to stay in the game, even though we have far fewer chips than he does, is to be all in as well. That, St. Paul says, is our spiritual worship, our logica latreia, the only worship that is logical, the only adoration that makes sense, is to be all in, sacrifice not just 10% of ourselves, not even 99% of ourselves, sacrifice the entirety of who we are, to love God as we heard in that reading, with all our mind, heart, soul, and strength. This is what we pray at Mass when the priest says at the offertory, Orate fratres, pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God the Almighty Father. And everyone responds, may the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands. This sacrifice that's made to the Father is a dual sacrifice. It's a joint spousal offering. It's the consecration of head and body of groom and bride together to the Father. That's why it's key to enter fully into the Mass, to grasp what Mass is. Even though Christ made one an eternal sacrifice, even though Christ's participation in the Mass was offered once and for all in the upper room and at the place called Golgotha, every Mass is different precisely because what we add to the Mass is different every single time. The sacrifice we make of ourselves is new. His is eternal. We consecrate ourselves each day to God. We should do that, obviously, at our morning offering. But the most fitting place of all to do it, to renew that consecration, is at Mass, when we join our sacrifice to Christ, immersing ourselves in His Word, in His truth, in His body and blood, in His consecration, so that we can make our consecration complete. And to make this sacrifice well, we have to understand what's happening in the Eucharist and take this gift seriously. This isn't a rite. This isn't a ceremony. This is God. And we grow to appreciate the reality, the awesome gift that's in front of us, more and more in adoration. That's why God is helping us to grow in our love for this great gift of adoration. St. Thomas Aquinas taught us to pray, Adoro te devote, latens deitas, quae supis figuris vere latitas, tibi se cor meum totum subicit, quia te contemplans totum deficit. What does that word mean? What does that phrase mean? That when we adore devoutly our hidden God, whose humanity is hidden even under these appearances, that the only response we're capable of giving our true worship is totum cor meum subjicit. That we totally subject our entire heart, all our love, all our affection to Him. Because in contemplating Him here and becoming one temple with Him, in joining His consecration, everything else fades away. That seeing Christ's consecration for us here leads us to give all in response. That's why adoration is so important for us to get ready in the Mass, to lay down all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength, together with Christ's self-gift. In response to His giving Himself to us, in this gift we now adore, we subject our entire heart. It's in adoration that we learn to consecrate ourselves fully to God at the same time that we remain amazed that as we sing in the Panis Angelicus, a poor and humble servant eats his Lord and comes with so great a privilege into God's presence. Tonight, as we adore the Supreme Consecrated One in the Holy Eucharist, we ask Him for the grace to give Him our whole heart, to respond to the prophet Joel's appeal on Ash Wednesday, to return to Him with our entire heart, so that we may enter into His consecration to the Father and live it to the full, now and forevermore. Adoro te devote latens deitas. Tibi se cor meum totum, totum suffici. Praise be Jesus Christ.